James chapter 5 verses 19 and 20, the title of the message this morning is The Conversion of a Sinning Saint. The Conversion of a Sinning Saint. The saints, of course, are believers, people who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and we sin after we get saved. Amen? All right? We all sin, and so this is talking about a saint that has gone in the wrong direction and how to get him or her back on track. So the conversion of a sinning saint. So let's read the scripture and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So James chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And shall hide a multitude of sins. The conversion of a sinning saint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. We do pray you'd forgive us for our sins. I do pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit as we preach and receive your word. I pray if anyone here is not saved that you convict them and convert them this morning. I pray for those of us who are saved that you would convict us as well. And help us to do your will. I just pray, we acknowledge that nothing is done without you. We just pray that you would do a great work in this place. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you bless all the services going on this morning. Amen. The conversion of a sinning saint. The first thing that we will see this morning is the need for conversion. The need for conversion. James chapter 5 and verse 19 says, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. The word convert, according to Bill Mounts, means to turn towards, to turn around, to bring back, to convert. So we might say, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one turn him towards the truth. If any of you err from the truth and one of you turn him around, so he's going in the right direction. If any of you err from the truth and one brings him back to the truth. And that's the idea of converting someone. They were going in the right way and they turn from the right way and they start going the wrong way. And so you turn them back to go in the right way. That's conversion. Now we can see here, talking about the need for conversion, who this is talking to. It is not talking to people who are unsaved. Sometimes we use these verses to talk about the conversion of the unsaved. And that's obviously very important. We need to be reaching people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you have never come to a place in your life where you have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and trusted Him to forgive your sins and to save your soul, and you have the assurance that you're going to heaven when you die, then you can have that this morning. You can be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's an important thing. But this is talking to about converting saints or Christians. Notice what it says, Brethren, if any of you do err. If any of who errs? Talk to me. If any of who errs, according to the text, it's in yellow up there.
You.
That's right. You, the brethren. Brethren. Saved people. Christians. If any of you do err from the truth. Now, Christians can stray from the truth. Now, what does the Bible say about the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus also said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So both Jesus Christ, the living word of God, and the written word of God, the Bible, are absolute truth. And so when a person turns from truth, when a Christian turns from truth, they are turning from the written word of God. They're turning from the Bible and going against the Bible. But they're also turning against Christ and going away from Jesus Christ, the living word. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. So we see that one of the reasons we need to convert people is because they have gone away from the truth. I'm trying to think of a good illustration for this, but let's use a driving illustration. My wife and I lived in the United Kingdom for a while, and of course in the UK they drive on the other side of the road. And so you sit on the other side of the car. And you're used to that. So I got used to that. I learned to drive over there with a stick shift, by the way, which I had no idea how to drive before I went. But my wife was doing all the driving. She's very dangerous. I didn't want her to drive anymore, so I learned to drive a stick shift. So when we came back to the United States and we started driving several times, I went out in the car and started driving and realized I was driving on the wrong side of the road. You just get used to being on the other side of the road. So there would be a need. I have erred in that case from the truth of the traffic laws, and there would be a need to get me back straight, going the right way, or there's going to be an accident. And so that's one of the reasons that we need to turn people back to the truth, because if they get out of the way of the truth and they start going the wrong way, there's going to be a wreck. And that's what happens in a lot of folks' lives when they stray from the Word of God. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Another reason the Bible tells us that we need to turn people back to the truth, that we need to seek people's conversions, is because it'll save them from death. Now, the Bible talks about premature death in the life of a believer. For instance, 1 Corinthians 11:30, talking about the Lord's Supper. We don't think much about this anymore, but the Bible was very strong on this in the early church. The Christians at Corinth were irreverently taking the Lord's Supper. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were coming hungry and using the Lord's Supper for food, and they were doing all kinds of different things. And the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They were not taking it to remember Jesus Christ and his broken body and shed blood. They were taking it in an unworthy manner. And so the Word of God says, for this cause, because of the way you're taking the Lord's Supper, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. People, because of the way they were taking the Lord's Supper, they were getting sick, and they were weak, and some had died. That's what it means, many sleep. Many had died prematurely. And so the Bible talks about premature death as a judgment for sin when a person will not repent. Again, 1 Corinthians 5:5. There was a man in the church who was engaging in fornication. And it was a type of fornication that was so disgusting that Paul said that even the Gentiles, the unsaved people, the idol worshipers, wouldn't mention this kind of fornication. But this is what this guy was doing, and the church was trying to love him and keep him in the church. I grew up in a church like that. It wasn't a Baptist church, and we should love people. Don't misunderstand me. But what they were doing was they knew he was living in this kind of sin, which was so gross that it wouldn't even be mentioned amongst idol worshipers. And he was in the church, and instead of talking to him about it and saying, brother, you need to repent of this, and following the Bible and what the Bible says about this, they were saying, oh, we need to have unity and love. And they were keeping him in the church and not saying anything about that sin. And The church, you might find this interesting. The church I grew up in was a Presbyterian church. And there's good Presbyterians and bad ones. And the one I was in was associated with a national group of Presbyterians that had a conference. And at that conference, some women that went to that conference who fancied themselves to be leaders of the church had decided that God of the Bible was not good. And so they had re-imaged God into the idol Diana, I believe is what they did. Now, everybody knows that's blasphemous. It's heresy. But that's what they'd done. And everybody was supposed to think, oh, we need to love them and keep them in the church and think this is a good thing, worshiping the goddess Diana in a Christian church. And it was just filthy, wicked, and vile and blasphemous. And so in this church, Paul said, here's what you need to do. Paul said, you need to excommunicate this person, get them out of the church, excommunicate them. And Paul said to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In this case, if the destruction of the flesh, once they were out of the fellowship, the destruction of the flesh could go to the point of premature death with this person. Now, does anybody know what actually happened to this person? You'd find out in the book of 2 Corinthians. All right, what actually happened was they excommunicated him and he repented of his sin and they brought him back into the church. And that's what was supposed to happen. That's the idea of it. Always repentance. But we see premature death here. Again, 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So there are some sins that when you take it too far, and God gives you chance after chance after chance, just like God said in the book of Revelation, there was a false teacher in one of the churches, and God said, I gave her space to repent. And so God gives us space to repent. And if we take it too far and refuse to repent again and again and again, eventually that sin can result in premature death, and there's no prayer for that after that point. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. The Bible says, let him know, James 5:20 again, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You could be saving somebody from premature death by turning them right back on the right way, and shall hide a multitude of sins. There are different views on what it means to hide a multitude of sins, but think about this. If a person goes on in their sinful way, they're going to commit a lot of sins, right? Just like if I keep driving down the wrong side of the road, I'm going to cause a lot of accidents. So they're going to commit. I was watching a video on YouTube of a drunk driver, and he was driving. He kept driving into the ditch, and these people were following him down a country road, and he was driving real fast, and he kept running into the ditch and running across on the wrong side of the road, and he didn't hit anybody, but eventually, he runs off, runs down in a ditch, and hits a tree and flips his car over. And that's what happens eventually. So, one error, one sin, when a person gets off track in the Christian life, will lead to a multitude of sins. And so, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. If they aren't converted, they'll die. And they'll commit a bunch of sins. So that's the need for conversion. It keeps people from those things. And then we see the method of conversion. The method of conversion. Now, James here does not tell us the method of conversion. And so I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And this is instruction that Paul gave to Timothy as a preacher, but we can all learn from this instruction. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, there are going to be all kinds of people that will divert off course and get into error that once attended church and once were professing Christians. So what do you do? Well, you can take the same advice that Paul gave to Timothy. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. First of all, it won't do you any good to strive with them or to argue and fight with them. It won't do you any good to get angry. Sometimes people say crazy stuff and it makes you angry, but just don't get angry. Be patient. Pray that God will give you patience. Teach. Tell them, now this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Put them back on the Word. Put them back on the Bible. And show them what the Bible says. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, the sad thing is that when a person gets in error, when a Christian gets in error and departs from the Bible, they're really opposing themselves. They're really going against themselves. You've been born again. You're a child of God. If you go against God, you're going against yourself. You're opposing yourself. In meekness, meekness is power under control. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, this is key, and a lot of us miss this. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, you're supposed to instruct them. You're supposed to say, hey, this is the right way to go. This is what you should do. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, who changes them? God, not us. Now, you can argue till you're blue in the face. You can argue all day long and use all the apologetics and all the books and everything you want to use. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the end, the main thing we need to do is to pray that God will change their hearts. When a person has departed from the truth, there is nothing that will get them back to the truth but God. God must change their hearts. God, repentance all through the Bible is pictured as a gift. In the Old Testament, the prophets would pray, Lord, turn me and I shall be turned. We cannot turn the way we need to turn. We cannot come back to God the way we need to come back to God unless God turns us. And so we need to pray for the Christians who have departed from the truth. That God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And He wants to give them repentance, but we need to pray for it. And that should be the main thing we do when we're talking to someone. Our whole lesson this morning in the pastor's fellowship was on prayer, the prayer of Elijah. And we talked about that. And the Bible, we taught on that last week, but the Bible teaches that Elijah was a man just like us, but he prayed for the rain to stop, and it stopped. And then 3 years and 6 months later, he prayed for the rain to start again, to end the drought in Israel, and the rain started again. And you can have power with God through prayer, just like Elijah. That's what the Bible's teaching. And so pray for people that God will give them repentance. 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It's like people have become puppets. Like the devil's there and he's just manipulating people, moving people around. And if you're in church and you see people's lives and they get off into all these kind of errors and all this weird stuff, and they used to be in church and used to believe the Bible, and now they're off into all this kind of stuff that's unbiblical, then you look at them and you think, how can they be deceived like that? But the truth of the matter is, the devil is just toying with them, that they may recover themselves. God must give them repentance, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we've seen the need for conversion, the method of conversion, and finally we see the blessings of conversion. This Wednesday we'll be studying the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." You look up at the stars in the sky at night. "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There are blessings to conversion. If you want to shine like a star in God's economy, turn people to righteousness. Preach the truth. Win souls. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." If somebody's lost, preach the gospel to them. Tell them how to be saved. If someone is saved and they've departed from the truth, tell them the truth. Preach Christ to them. Take them to the Bible. Show them what the Bible says. And pray in both cases that God will grant faith and repentance to them. It's His gift. Pray. And God will turn people, and you'll have a part in that. "And they that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever." So we have seen today in the book of James, in this conclusion to the book of James, the conversion of the sinning saint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this house. We do pray for those that don't know you as Savior. We pray that you would convict them and save their souls this morning. We thank you for the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross to pay the price for all our sins. We thank you for his resurrection 3 days later. We praise your name that by faith in Jesus Christ we can be saved from our sins. We pray if some here have departed from the truth, maybe some here have fallen out of church that used to go to church regularly, some here have gone away from the Bible that used to believe the Bible and read the Bible, I pray that you would bring them back today. I pray you would grant us repentance. I pray that you would turn us, Heavenly Father, so that we truly will be turned. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you real quickly, is there anyone here, no one's looking around, but is there anyone here just by slipping your hand up and right back down real quickly that would say, "Brother Stephen, I am not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not 100% certain, but I'd like to be." Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Anyone? All right. Is there anyone here? God bless you. Anyone else? All right. God bless you. Now, is there anyone here who would say, "Brother Stephen, I'm a Christian. I know that I've been saved. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But I feel like I have gotten away from some things I used to be solid on." Maybe you've gotten away from the Bible. Maybe you used to read it every day and you've gotten away from that. Maybe you've gotten away from church. Maybe you've gotten away from different things. And you'd say, "You know, I just want God to do something in my life. I want God to do a work in my life and to bring me back where I need to be." No one's looking still. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? All right. God bless you. God bless you. Several of us. Now, I'm the pastor, and I'm going to raise my hand too, because I feel like that there are times where I'm not where I need to be. And so I need God to do a work in my life too. And praise God. Is there anyone here who say, "I have family members or friends who are not saved, and I want God to help me to do something to witness to them, to share the gospel with them?" Would you raise your hand on their behalf? All right. God bless you, many of us. many of us. We're praying for our family and friends. And we have some gospel tracts in the back that you can grab. I think they're Halloween tracts, but that'll be okay. But you can grab them in the back on your way out. The comic book's there. And we have a way to witness to them there. So, but we'll pray for them. All right. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer one more time. And I'm going to sing a verse of Amazing Grace. If you're here and not sure that you're saved, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have Miss Shirley. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And if you're a man, I'll be happy to show you how to be saved here in the front of the church. We'll spend as much time with you as we need to. But let's go ahead and sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Everybody stand, if you will, please, if you're able to stand.